We have to be ready and willing to praise him for the yes, the no, and the not now. And
Right.
that's why a lot of times when I pray, I say, I'm praising you in advance for what you're going to do. I may lay my petitions down in prayer. I may lay them down right at your feet, but I'm going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do, because I know what you're going to do is going to bring you honor, bring you praise, bring you glory. And no matter what, it's going to be a part of my sanctification process, because it's going to be something that I need in this moment for where you're taking me. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Rooted in Christ podcast. My name is Eric Stevens. I'm the founder of Redwood Christian Ministries. Hope everyone out there is doing well today. With me on the show is returning guest, founder of the Get Grounded Method, Jen Myron. Sister, how are you doing? And welcome back.
Thank you, my friend. I'm doing great. It's a good day around here.
There you go. There you go. So for anyone who didn't get a chance to hear the previous episode that you were on, give us just a little bit about you. And I think here is in Texas for you. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
I am in the heart of Texas where it is still summer and 150 degrees. So I am the founder of the Get Grounded Method, which focuses on learning how to apply God's word to your spirit so that you can trust him in all things, to help you deal with life's challenges, to help you deal with some of the mental health struggles we all have had in our lives, and to just to learn to live in his peace in all things. So the Get Grounded Method came out of, I would say, the most challenging time in my life. I know we're all kind of tired of the word dumpster fire, but like that's where my life was. I was a single mom of three kids, living in a very expensive city, and it started in the fall of 2022, September of 2022, and it's part of my testimony. So that previous June, a friend of mine had died, and she wasn't just a dear friend of mine, she was a past client of mine, and we helped her fight cancer on three different occasions. And on the last occasion, Jesus took her home to be healed in totality, as we know. So during her second and third bout of cancer, she had created these biblical affirmations to stand up to cancer. And they were based off of 100 Bible verses that God had directed her to. And she learned how to, what I now really say, pray in power. Because a lot of times we pray and plead, and God, please help me, right? Which, that's okay. We see it all over Psalms. David's all about, please help me. But there's something about when we believe in our heart, without doubt, for that mountain to be moved, God will move it. And we got to pray that way. And so it's come from that. But what happened to me in September of that year, I was in a really dark place. I was exhausted. I was still grieving, really burnt out, dealing with some stuff with my ex-husband, living with us, which is not a choice that I made with God. It's just a choice I made. The kids were not doing well. I was not doing well. I was pretty much on the end of losing it. And so I took off and I went to the beach and I took the affirmations with me. They're these. I always love to show them, these 100 biblical affirmations with Bible verses. And I went to the beach and I just got into my hotel room and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't live like this anymore. Please help me. And God said, okay, I will show you. And so I spent that week being obedient to him. And one of the things he called me to do was to take these Bible verses. He said, I want you to write one a day, every day for 100 days. I said, okay, great. Like, I don't see how this is going to help me out of my dumpster fire of a life, because what I feel like I need is a 2-week vacation alone and $1 million. Like, that'd be great, please. But God, of course, you know, knows what we need, not as much better than what we want. And so during the process, the kicker of it was when he told me to do this, he said, after I agreed to it, he goes, and I want you to post them on Facebook. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is some really personal stuff. And he's like, well, you're at the end of your rope. So you just told me you would do whatever I asked. Now what? And I was like, I hear that. I would say to my husband, sometimes God's sassy with me. He's like, well, you're kind of sassy, so it makes sense. I'm like, fair. But it got my attention. I said, okay, God, your way, not my way. And so I started writing this every single day for 100 days. And that week that I spent at the beach, I just spent the week being obedient to God. When to eat out, when to eat in my hotel room, the food I had brought, when to go to bed, when to rest, when to play at the beach, when to work. Just every moment of that week was scripted by God. And at the end of the week, I said, God, I have never felt so peaceful in 43 years. I said, I want this when I go home because it is a mess back there. And that is when Jesus saved me. I grew up in the church. My grandfather was a part-time pastor. I did Awana's youth group, Young Life, all the things that we did in the 90s. I was confirmed, I was baptized, and unbeknownst to me, I was never saved until that day on the beach when I was 43 years of age. And so I went home and I continued to write these 100 days, and I learned to lean on God's understanding, not my own. And he spoke life into my life and showed me how these scriptures that were thousands of years old apply to my life today. And that is a big part of the Get Grounded method and what it looks like to start leaning on God's understanding and trusting him. But it comes with surrender. It comes with gratitude, thankfulness. It comes with repentance, a word, a lot of the modern Christian church doesn't like to talk about, but it's so important. And it talks about and forgiveness and obedience. And then taking your thoughts captive, and it's a whole thing, but it's what I went through for 4 months, and it completely changed my life. My kids will tell you, for me, one of the biggest blessings and gifts that came out of this is my kids saw me before and after. They know the mom I was, and it wasn't great. I was short-tempered. To be honest with you, I drank too much. I was up and down a lot. And after I was saved and going through this process, we were 3.5 months in, and for Christmas, they got me a Christmas present, the best Christmas present they've ever given me. And they said, "You're a new mom. It may not make sense to you, but we see it. We see the change in you." So now my children have an actual living example of what it looks like to be saved, the before and after. And so you can't show it to them. They can't, it's so hard to explain getting saved, but they actually have a walking, breathing testimony. Like they see it. They see the difference in me.
We always say, when people see us, we want them to see Jesus. And, it's a blessing when that's going on within your own household, because sometimes those are the hardest people to minister to, is the people you're related to or the people who've known you for a long period of time. But it's a blessing when those folks, there's something different about you.
Yeah, my son was saying it to my husband the other day. Because during that process, I met the man that God had for me. And like we've talked about, he and I dated that following year for 8 months, and God called us to be married. And 11 weeks later, we were married. And 9 months later, here we are. But my son was saying to my husband the other day, because we were talking, I feel like my son's getting close. And he's like, I just know there's a difference because I know the difference in my mom. And I did a lot of crappy things before I was saved. And so to me, that's a gift because God can truly make beauty from the ashes when you trust him and when you stop trying to hold all the control, which I'm a recovering co control freak. That's the thorn in my side, the thorn in my flesh is control. But God can do amazing things when we give up that control and trust him.
I want to get into this a little bit too, because you have a whole business based off of this. So if someone wants to partner with you, work with you, or have you help them, what does that process look like? Because letting go and letting God is like, it's one thing to say it, but then how do we actually go about doing it, and what does that look like? And it's like perfect time that you and I are recording this today, because I literally have a story to share with you about me selling my house, where I literally just had to say, God, I'm done with this process. This is up to you. But so how, what does that look like for anyone who wants to work with you, be coached by you, anything you want to share in regards to that?
It looks like saying a couple of things. Number one, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm at the end of my rope. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm sick of this anxiety that is running my life. I am sick of this depression that's making it so I can't get out of bed. I'm sick of fighting with my husband over the same thing all of the time. I have cancer. I don't want to do this anymore and stress and anxious and worry and freak out. I want to rely on what God says my medical treatment should be, not these medical professionals. It's just reaching out and saying, I can't do this on my own anymore. I want, I need help. That's the first part of it. And then it's praying and having the courage to do it. I always tell people, I am a judgment-free zone. I am a compassionate zone. I am a confidential zone. I've either been through it or I've coached it. It takes very little to surprise me anymore. Because I've seen all kinds of stories in my line of work. And, you know, God calls the broken to help the broken. I always say, you know, I'm not going to take weight loss advice from somebody who's never gone through it because you don't understand the struggles. I understand
Right.
your struggles. I've got an ex-husband. I grew up in abuse. I was in an abusive marriage. I've been single, divorced, remarried. Like I've done some things in my life. And so I understand that you're not coming to me all perfect. You don't need to come to me perfect. I'm not going to judge you for it, but I am going to push you through it with God's help. And so what we do is, it's just a simple email me, reach out on my website, schedule a call and say, Jen, I don't know what to do, but I need help. Will you pray with me? We start there and we say, okay, God, let's pray. I've helped women through some very sensitive topics, things that I've been through. It's just saying, I don't want to carry this alone anymore. Because that's the thing, the enemy wants us to keep it in darkness. That's where shame and guilt, confusion, for a lot of people, it's like, oh, I'll just muscle through it. And if I get far enough away from the trauma, then it won't bother me anymore. Until that moment it does, and you have PTSD and you go, oh crap, what is this? Right? And I've diagnosed with complex PTSD for a variety of things that I've been through. God has healed me of that. And it's just saying, hey, I don't want to live like this anymore. I know that there's freedom in Jesus. I want it here now. How do I get there? And so really it just starts with reaching out and saying, hey, I need help. So those are kind of for some of the tougher cases. I was reading through, you know, the story of Moses bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, and his father-in-law came to him and said, you know what, you got to do the tough cases. There are cases that aren't going to be so tough that we need other solutions for. And so there are things that I am putting together too, where maybe you're not dealing with some of the more extreme things like trauma, like anxiety or depression or PTSD. Maybe you're just kind of struggling with some anxious thoughts or some chaos or like just some overwhelm. And you just want to learn, you know, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says, take your thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Daily renew your mind. So I do have a program where we walk through that too, more in a group setting, because I also believe the community aspect of that is important.
So if someone reaches out to you and, you know, let's just say they don't want to do that, the group setting piece of that, and they say, hey, I'm struggling with anxiety and depression, and they send you that email. So like, from like, if you in a successful case, and maybe you can share without like betraying the confidence of the people that you're working with. So is that you have a way from day one, from start to finish, like this is what a success in this program looks like.
Absolutely. So I have one that just comes to mind. She's dealing with somebody. You know, the word narcissist is thrown around a lot right now. I go back and forth with it. Is it the spirit of the age? Because Paul said at the end, in the end days, people are going to be lovers of themselves. That's certainly narcissism, right? And so there's certainly a scripture backing for it, but it's also seems to be the hot button topic right now in culture. So I do help people through narcissistic abuse recovery, because I have been through narcissistic abuse recovery through this program. And so her example, she came to me, she's all twisted up and anxious. And what's my husband going to do? And he's hurting me and I don't know what he's, and da, da, da. And it's just this constant, what's he doing? What's going on? I don't understand. I'm confused. I'm scared. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I can't get out of bed. I can't move forward. I don't know what to do. And it's just this very panic, tight chest feeling. And I said, okay, I can't tell you whether or not to leave your husband. It's never going to happen. Because only God can tell you that. And God has grounds for divorce. And I am certainly not getting to heaven and having him say, well, you caused this divorce and that one. So what do you got to say? Like, I'm not doing that. Not having that on my record. So I told her that. I said, but what I hear you say is you need peace. So let's focus on God. Let's focus on Jesus, and let's get you some peace. And then most people say, well, how long is it going to take? And I say, well, how long did it take you to get into this situation? And the truth of the matter is for some of us, it's decades. For me, it was 40 years. That's a long time. So God guides the process. The Spirit guides the process. And I say, okay, let's just meet once a week for an hour, and let's go through the next step and the next step. And so with her specifically, we started doing that. And we go through the process of surrender. We go through the process of repentance because we all have a role, regardless of, whether it's a simple case of anxiety or a complex case. We all have a role in this anxiety business. And a lot of it stems from fear and not trusting God and acting out of our own motives and our own decisions instead of saying, okay, what does God want me to do, right? I saw a comment in a Facebook group the other day, for example. Somebody's like, well, she was in a single mom's group, Christian single mom's group. She said, well, I got pregnant and the dad wants to be involved, but I don't want him involved. What do you think I should do? And everyone's like, oh, he should be involved. He's the dad's father or the baby's father. And I was like, I mean, you got to ask God, what does God want you to do? Right? And so we really focus on getting grounded in God's word. We pray, we go through the steps. And I give you tools and exercises that point you to Jesus for the answers and to God's word for the answers, as opposed to Facebook groups or even therapists. I'm going to be honest with you because, I certainly had lots of therapy in my life. But then you're kind of focusing on man's understanding. You're supposed to focus on God's. And so we walk them through that process. So with her, for example, by the end of 4 months, it's usually around 4 months. Usually around, first I'll say around 30 days, we do about four sessions. I start to see the lights come back on in their eyes, and I know God's moving. Like I can see it, and it is like the most overwhelming thing to see God move in that way that quickly. And by then they're hooked. They're like, okay, I'm starting to, they start to feel me, see the lights go back on. So then we go through the rest of the couple few months process, and by the end she's like, I don't know what's going to happen in my marriage, but I'm good. I've got peace. I've got God. He's working it out how he wants to work it out. I have another one. She came to me and she, people come to me, they come to me, but I got to peel back the onion and go, okay, what's really going on here? I pray, ask for discernment. God, show me what's really going on here. She's like, I gotta get this business running because my husband doesn't live with us because of money, and he lives in another state making money, and we've got to get here, and I'm living with my parents and my boys, and I gotta make this business work. And again, it's this clenched fist feeling. I'm up here, I gotta figure this out, instead of I gotta let God figure it out, trust his timing and trust his way. And I looked at her and I said, I love you, and I think what you're struggling with is control, and you're trying to control it all. And she told me later, she said, I want to come right through that Zoom call and slap you. I said, I knew. I said to God, I said, okay, you called me to say that. Now you're going to have to follow up with what we're going to do. And so I took her through the process. And one of the things I love about her, many things I love about her, but she has a master's degree in therapy. And she said, Jen, therapy can't touch this. What's happened here is I've been healed. I've been healed of my anxiety. I have been healed of my depression. Do I still have bouts with worry? Yeah, we're gonna have bouts. This side of heaven, it's never gonna be perfect. I know where to go now when I'm feeling this way. I know to turn the worship music on. I know that if I can't shake it today, that God's mercies are new every morning, and I just need to go to bed. That's the thing. Anxiety, depression, it doesn't have to be a lifelong sentence. Jesus came to give us freedom from it. He's given it to me, he's given it to my clients.
Are there any scriptures that you stand on, like from a foundational standpoint for your business, or do you literally take this like case by case basis?
I would say both and. The foundation of the get grounded method is, and God showed this to me really clearly last winter, is if you look at Mark 4:18 through 4:19, Jesus talks about the word falling on rocky soil and the thorns come and break it down. And he's talking about people are consumed with the deceitfulness of wealth. and the worries or the anxieties of the age, which, I mean, here we are in 2024, and that's 100% true. And because Jesus loves us so much, he gave us the answer. He said those where the word falls on good soil produce good fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold. That fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, love, patience, goodness, faithfulness. And so it really is about taking the time to get grounded in his word every day and learn how to apply it to your life. And really, it comes between, so that there's that part of it about getting grounded in his word. And then in Mark 11:23, he says to you, to us, anybody who believes in his heart without doubt that this mountain shall be moved and asks and prays for it to be moved, it will be moved.
Good.
The word mountain, if you look it up in the concordance, is about overcoming life struggles or having victory in your life. It's not about saying, God, move the mountain that I'm broke. I need $1 million. It's not that. It's about I have this struggle. And I believe, God, that you're working in it and you're going to move this mountain because your word says, peace is mine. I have the mind of Christ. I don't need this chaos in my brain because I have the mind of Christ. I believe that. Which comes to, that's part of the problem, right? We all know too much. We know the scriptures. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But there's a disconnect between what we know in our minds to what we feel in our heart. And this process that I take people through bridges that disconnect, so you learn to stand on God's truth and speak peace to your spirit and get your spirit connected to the spirit where it wants to live 24/7.
Even in recently, I think you and I spoke. I just put my house up on the market recently for sale. The house went under contract in 2 days, which
Amazing.
I knew it would go fast, but that was fast even for me. And since I moved in here, and then even in the past few weeks, knowing I was getting it ready for sale, like there was updates like done to the house. House goes up on contract. Home inspection gets ready to happen. When I tell you that this home inspector could not have been more incompetent, I don't even have a nice way to say it. I'm probably going to have to repent for what I just said, but right now there was nothing. There's no other word to describe it. Down to the fact of being set in his inspection that the roof has 2 years left, when I know that there was a complete tear off done.
Wow.
And you know. You're taking, and I'm just using this example. You know, I'm getting off work and, you know, now driving from city to city, viewing house to house. And it is an exhausting process.
Not as fun as it sounds.
It's not because you run into, oh, these pictures look nice. And then you get in there and you can literally see, well, there's leaking in this ceiling of this house. Then
Right.
you know your realtor will contact the other agent and say, "Hey, did you guys know that there was a leak in the house?" And they'll be like, "No, I was unaware of this." It's like, how do you not know it's raining in your living room? You know what I mean? It's just
Right. Yeah.
so maybe the realtor didn't know, but as the homeowner, like, why wouldn't you disclose this kind of thing? Because we wouldn't, you know, it's the process can be really exhausting. And we were going to a revival. Holly and I were headed to a revival night. So I got the phone call on Friday that the seller wanted to back out of the deal because of what the home inspector said. At that point, I'm like, we're walking into a worship night for a revival. And I just told God, I'm like, I'm done. I've done my due diligence. I prepared the house. I listed it on the market. Anything that a VA or an FHA loan, for example, would flag. We got all of that done, which is basically new paint. Like, you know, it was nothing really crazy. I said, God, this is actually a lie. So I said, as far as I'm concerned, this is now out of my hands. If you want me to move, this is up to you. I've done my part. I'm done. I'm gonna prepare that when I get married, it looks like we might be living here in this house. So gonna talk to Holly to see how we can make work living where I'm at, and we're gonna take it from there. I'm done.
Right.
I'm gonna say within about 8 hours. Guy's like, no, you're not done because I got a phone call from my realtor that says, no, the buyer's still going to go forward with the sale of this house. Like, It was just crazy. And I'm like, as soon as I let go, and I think that's what it
That's
was
the thing.
to just let my hands go and give it up.
Yeah.
Up.
Because we do, we twist, and it's like, that's a huge thing. It reminds me of my friend who, she's my assistant actually. She lives out in California, ways outside of Los Angeles, but that area. And they are in an area where they can have chickens in the backyard. They live in a subdivision, like, in outside of Los Angeles. And one of her neighbors reported that they have too many chickens. And she was, they have three and they have three kids. And she was so upset and so angry, just mad. And she's like, can you pray for me? 'Cause I'm just angry. And I said, absolutely. She's like, because we're gonna have to get rid of one of the chickens, and then one of the kids won't have one, and they'll be hurt. And nothing gets a mom going more like her kids being hurt. We don't like it. It doesn't go well. And so then we're all up trying to fix it, which is, again, if we're fixing, researching, helping, we kind of start stepping into the control issues and not giving it to God. And I said to her, I said, I will absolutely. I said, but I think you need to forgive them. And she's like, oh, that's tough. She's right. She's like, you're right, though. And so she went through the forgiveness process, forgave them, was still kind of in that research mode. And her husband was like, I'm not going to worry about it until the inspector comes and tells us something. And, God bless you, man. Like, you got a tough job dealing with us women and our emotions. It's a lot. Like, I can own that. And I'm thankful for my husband and him helping me with my own up and downs. And my assistant was the same way. And so the inspector came and he's like, no, you're totally fine with the chickens. All you need to do is actually move the coop a few feet. And my assistant was like, this is amazing because I've been wanting to put orange trees there. And I was like, and God knew the desires of your heart. You just need to let it go and forgive. So it really comes down to my whole process is really being emotionally healthy. Our emotions get us going, especially us women. And I love the women listening, and I'm right here with you. It's not like I don't still get twisted up. It happened over this weekend, but it's I don't let them rule as much as I possibly can.
It was something that showed me that don't carry the weight I'm not supposed to carry. And I just accepted the fact that I told myself I have a house. I have, and if this is where God wants us to be, we will be here. And if it's not, that's fine too. It's not that I didn't care. I was just like, this is beyond me now, because there is the one thing I do to your point about being found in the word. I knew that there was deceit that was going on there. Now, I'm not saying it was intentional. I just know that what was stated was not true. So I then said, I'm taking my hands off of this, and wherever you want us to be, we'll be. Now, I don't have the answer that I'm looking for as far as, because we put a bid in on a house that is now going to allow us to possibly save more than what we would have, which was a blessing. So going, that whole Dave Ramsey thing in below your means, which is good. Now, we don't have an answer on that yet, but still, that's also in God's hands. I'm not worried about it. If, he'll have us where he has us. But it was a matter of the weight. It was like, God, I'm just done. Like, this is, you want me somewhere. I need you to open those doors and make a way. And I need you to send whatever you need to send on my behalf, whoever you need to send on my behalf, whatever you need to do on my behalf. I need you to do it, because I've done my part. And I think I've done my part to the best of my ability unto you. I'm
Wow.
done.
That's the thing. And then God goes work. He's like, cool. Now you're out of my way, so I can be God and I'm gonna do my thing. But we're so it's a lot of things, right? If you have any kind of control issues, hi, me for sure. It's also when we think about God intervening, we think about the big stuff. We think about cancer, we think about divorce, we think about moving across country, like the big things. But God wants to be in all of our details, small, medium, and big. This morning I got to do Mark 11:23 with my kids this morning on the way to school. It was so fun. So fun. As I said in the beginning, I live in outside of Austin, and it's 150 degrees first thing at 8 o'clock this morning on the way to school. I mean, it's hot. We had a good July, but we're paying for it in August. It's warm. And so we're driving to school, and I have an older car that my parents had gifted me during my time as a single mom, which I'm so grateful for. But the air conditioner has always been wonky. And so we're halfway to school, and it's still not working. I'm like, okay, God, I believe your word says you want to give me good things. I'm not asking for a huge thing. I'm going to believe in my heart that you want to give me good things and that this air is going to start working because you want to give me good things. And I know the word. I'm praying a promise. And that's the other thing. We got to know the promises of God. I have 100 of them. People that listen to this, they're welcome to check out my 100. I have a link for it. We got to know the promises of God. And then we got to start praying in power and speaking to the mountain and saying, no, I believe God wants to give me good things. And this air conditioner, I believe it's going to work. I'm not kidding you. 15 seconds later, air conditioning came on. I'm not asking for $1 million in an island to go live by myself. I mean, well, I'm just asking for air conditioning. We forget that our Father wants to give us good gifts. That was a good gift this morning for three of his kids. It was nice. But we have to know the word. We have to learn how to stand on his promises instead of praying in this pleading that we do, and start praying in power and own that we are children of the Most High God and that he will give us those good things.
God put the verse on my heart when I was at leading prayer on Saturday, and it was, God works all things together for the good of those who love him, but it's for his will and his purposes. And that's the part that a lot of people leave that part off of that verse. Now,
Oh, people.
we know that it's all things are all things. So whether it's the good, the bad, and the ugly, he's gonna work it together. And sometimes, we make bad decisions, and that's what he's like, this was never my plan for you anyway. Sometimes we'll make decisions not according to the will of God and get mad at God or get mad at ourselves or whatever the case might be, but that was not his plan. So he is going to say, okay, this is where we are right now, and I'm still going to work this together for his will, for his plan, for his purposes, for his honor, for his glory, not to just convenience my life. Because sometimes there's lessons that I need to learn because I was being disobedient in the first place.
Absolutely. Because again, the air conditioning, good example. Let's say God, it didn't turn on. That's a great test from a good, loving father because every test comes from a good and loving father. When we recognize that it's a test, God doesn't ordain cancer, but he's sovereign, right? He knows. So everything, if we look at it as a test, because that could have been a test, it could have not come on. And now we've got a $3,000 air conditioner that we need to buy on a car that's worth $1,500. Now we're going to trust God's provision that he's going to provide a car. And maybe we were just being disobedient and not trusting him, and that we needed to now have to step out in faith and trust him even more than maybe we already had been. I mean, as of this conversation, that's not our story, but that could have absolutely been our story. And
Right.
that's been our story before. Because I have been there when at Christmas time, single mom, three kids, I have $4.16. That's what I had. And I said, well, God, I've made you my husband until you provide one for me. You say you'll provide all I need, not what I want, because there's a difference. And especially in the West, we get this really confused. He knows what we need. He knows whether we need $1,000 or $10,000. And he will provide in his way. The thing is when we're so caught up not understanding how he does it, you hear the stories. Oh, I got a property tax refund and it was $1,000 and exactly what I needed. Sure. Those absolutely don't believe that's God. But that's not, I don't, in my life, that's really the way it works. It comes through donations for clothes for my kids that I didn't see coming. Okay, now that frees up $300. So now I have money for groceries, right? When we're so busy worried about the problem in here, we can't be here and saying, God, I trust you to provide. I can't wait to see how you're going to do it and then watch him do it. You can't see it when you're so stressed out, anxious, worried, fearful, what's going to happen.
We have to be ready and willing to praise him for the yes, the no, and the not now. And
Right.
that's why a lot of times when I pray, I say, I'm praising you in advance for what you're going to do. I may lay my petitions down in prayer. I may lay them down right at your feet, but I'm going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do because I know what you're going to do is going to bring you honor, bring you praise, bring you glory. And no matter what, it's going to be a part of my sanctification process, because it's going to be
Oh,
something that I need in this moment for
absolutely.
where you're taking me.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of it. With this whole concept of trusting, in my experience, especially the last nearly 2 years, I can't think of a time God worked it out the way I thought he was going to. I can't, it always comes out of left field. I'm like, well, didn't see that coming. That was awesome. But a lot of the lack of trust comes from our own impatience. And I'll tell you, and it's pride, and I 100% own it. But I always pride myself on being an impatient person. At least I knew what my character flaw was. Wasn't that a good thing? And God's like, yeah, not anymore. And so the last 6 months, he has been working me over on patience. One of my other spiritual mentors, I said that to her. She goes, yeah, that's a tough one. I don't like that one. I said, yeah, it's not great. Because if you're going to get tested on patience, you're going to get lots of tests to be patient. We get impatient. We want what we want and we want it now. And it's not from like that spoiled, entitled brat thing, but it's kind of is in its own way. We want this problem solved now. We want this solution now so that we can feel better now. Part of the waiting is learning to trust God and saying, you know, I'm going to have peace whether I wait for 3 weeks, 3 years, or 30 years. I'm dealing with that with my middle child. She is in a place where she and I don't have a relationship. That's the choice she's made. And God has made it very clear to me that this is where we're at. He told me, I think we're at 5 months, 6 months, 6 months ago to let her go live with her dad. That was a tough call. He said, you need to let her go. I said, okay. And he gave me the story of Abraham and Isaac. I said, I don't understand this. It is not, I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but I promised you that day on the beach, I will trust you in all things. So, and that I will be obedient. So I'm going to be obedient. I don't know, but he's promised me he will heal her. That could be in 3 weeks. That could be in 3 years. That could be in 30 years. But it gives me the opportunity to trust him. It gives me the opportunity not to be blown about by her waves and her, her. Some days she's happy at me. Some days she's not talking to me. Some days she's raging at me. I go, okay, God, this is your storm. I trust you. He's gonna call you to do the hard things too. And how fast do you want to obey him? I want to be like Abraham and obey quick. It's not easy to obey quickly, but I'd like to be.
If he called Jesus to do the hard thing, what more can I expect? And I'm not saying that we're going to be physically crucified the way he was, but it's very clear that there is a death to self involved in this if you studied and understand scripture. And
Yep.
dying to self is not only a part of this, but this is a lifestyle. And that is going to look very different in different seasons. It could be small, it could be big, it could be things you're aware of, things that you are not aware of. So if he was willing, if God said, I need to send my own son to the cross to die for all of humanity,
Oh.
I have to believe that there's just going to be some things that I'm going to see about myself, start to understand about myself that just may have to go, that will not be able to be a part of the next phases of this walk or this plan or this journey. There is a real reality to that, because even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, let your will, if this cup can pass me, let it pass me, but let your will be done.
Amen. I was just reading, I think it's in Timothy or maybe it's Thessalonians. When we were talking earlier, the Book of Leadership by John MacArthur, he talked about, Christ's suffering. Paul talked about it. And he gave us the perfect example of how to suffer. We got to do it. It's part of this process. But when people say, oh, but that's not the fun. Christianity is fun. Yeah, it's great. But life's still hard. Jesus never said you're going to have the perfect life once you're saved. It just says, where do you go when life's storms are raging around you? I have come to bring peace. I leave you my peace. And so many people in this world, especially in the country you and I live in, there is no peace. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. Where is the peace? It's available to you as a saved human being. Jesus's yoke is light. It is available to you. You just got to know how to get there. And it's possible. 43 years I lived in no peace. peace that I thought I had did not have peace. Always something around the next bend. And now when I have something around the next bend, I go, okay, God, can't wait to see how to work this out. You know, the situation with my daughter, I say to him, God, she was your child first. And I know my mistakes that I've made, and I am happy, and I've sought her forgiveness, and I'm happy to keep doing it. But you've forgiven me. And so she's your child. I trust you with her implicitly. You've got a plan for her that's better than my plan, that's bigger than my plan. Do I like that she's not with me and living here? No. Every day that's hard. But I have peace in it because God's writing her story just like he wrote mine. And if it means at the end of the day, my daughter is healed and saved, then it was all worth it, just like it was for me. And I look at it, my own mother had to go through the same thing. She had to wait for 43 years for her daughter to get saved. She's still waiting on another one. We pray for her every day.
Praise God for praying parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and whoever was came before us. Thank God for all of them.
Seriously.
All of them.
Thank you, Jesus. Because, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I feel that one. Because that's the number one goal of every parent should be. Every saved person, your number one goal should be that our kids get saved. Not what college they go to, not who they marry. I mean, it's important because you can get yourself unequally yoked, and that's not great. But our ultimate goal for them is for them to be saved. We got to be leading them in that path. We got to trust that God's going to do it. And we got to say, God, give us the wisdom and guidance because we're going to screw this up. I know we've met us, right? We got to trust him. It does not look like the world ever, ever. It's completely countercultural to what you will see out there on the parenting Facebook groups, the influencers. It does not look like the world. It looks like what it says in the word, which is the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because God is not changing.
If it works out, I think I'm going to talk to Michelle to see if the three of us can get together and do an episode to literally talk about just like leaning out of your own understanding. I think it'd be good if the three of us could link up to do that, especially all the surrender, the surrender series that she has out.
Yeah.
I think my schedule is going to be the problem. So I should just apologize to both of you in advance for being the problem for the idea that I just came up with. So
I love why your schedule's a mess. It's going to be great. I can't wait to see what God's going to do with this because I know where you're at. I was there last year and it's an awesome ride.
Oh, it's a great ride. It's just, you know.
It's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to tell you, so I'm going to tell you now. When I was going through it and got engaged and married 11 weeks later, we got to the end of October and we were moving. We were moved into my husband's house and moving the kids out of a school district, out of public school into a private Christian school, all of that stuff. I was stressed in planning a wedding and we had a small wedding. It was beautiful. But I remember we got married on November 11th and I got to the second weekend or the second to last week in October and I was a wreck. I was so stressed out. And people kept saying to me, they're like, don't worry about the wedding stuff. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be beautiful. I'm like, it's actually not the wedding. I agree with you on that. I got like three things left there. It's the moving. It's the school. It's all the stuff. And so I remember I was going to meet a client in the Austin, Texas area. I will sometimes meet with people in person. And so I was going to meet a client and I happened to be on Instagram right before I left. And it was, cast all your cares upon me. Right? That verse that we know in Peter. And I was like, I got in my car and I said, okay, God, I said, outside of Jesus coming down right now and help me with these things on the to-do list. I don't know, but I'm casting. This is me casting. I am casting my cares on you. Help me fix this. And, so I get home and my fiance, now husband, was there. And I said, I'm about to lose it. Like I need help. I don't know what to do. And he's like, okay, the first thing I think you should do is make a list of everything you need to do and then prioritize it and put in parentheses how long each task is going to take you. And I'm like, oh, this is what I used to coach people to do when I was doing business coaching. Like I knew, but I was so gone, I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like, again, we're casting. And by the way, that list ended up having 52 things on it that needed to be done in 2 weeks.
Ooh.
It's fine. It's you're going to be great. We cast. But what we expect is Jesus to come down, pick up this to-do list. You take these 12, I'll take these 12. We'll meet back and we'll do some more, right? It's not how it works. But I was able to say this to him. I was also able to say it to my best friend, who is very similar to my husband, and she said the exact same advice. I'm like, okay, I'm hearing this because I'm the third person in this story, and I know that's what I should be doing. And guess what? I got the 52 things done, and I wasn't stressed.
I received that because, I obviously right now, like Holly and I don't live together and we're not going to until, we get married. 'Cause that's just,
Right.
there's a million, there's a million reasons why, but we'll just stand on what the Bible says. So we'll just leave it right there.
Absolutely.
But there is the idea of like, I'm trying to prevent her from having to move twice. And so the whole like idea of getting everything scheduled and getting it done. And then it's like, I did the quick math. I'm like, I have a 24-hour window, maybe 4 hours of possible where I can move from one house to the next before I have to be out of this house. So I've been feeling the weight of that a little bit. So that's where it's coming from. Yeah, but that's what it is. It's that pressure. But we made the decisions to honor God with this relationship, and that's what's coming with it. And it's, Lord, I'm leaving this in your hands. I'm not going to wear this. So,
I trust you. Trust
yeah.
you to work. I trust you to provide the help when I need it, when I have 52 things to do, when I have 24 hours only to do this. And that's the other thing we have to be able to do is receive. We
Right.
have to receive because somebody may come up to you and say, you know what? I feel like God's saying you could use some help, even if it's just me bringing over a couple pizzas and some Diet Coke and a bunch of water. And you say, oh, no, I got it. No. Now you're blocking somebody else's blessings and their chance to be obedient to Jesus. And so part of how God helps us and comes out of left field is saying, hey, I'm going to come over and help and bring you some pizza. Because now you're not having to take time to run to McDonald's and, it's a whole. And that's how he does it. But
Right.
we expect God to show up at our front door with a $1,000 check. And it's hard to see it when you are so, not you, just all of us, when we're all up here, how is this going to work? God, I need you to show up at the door with a $1,000 check. He's like, nah, I got people bringing pizza. That's going to take this burden off, which is going to make this easier. And then you can do this faster. And maybe not, when we slow down, because that's a big part of trusting God is slowing down and seeing who he's putting in your place, what verses he's giving you, things like that, so that you can learn to step out of the boat a little bit easier.
Feel like, and I probably said this on the last show, you and I could probably talk all day, which just
Great.
means we got to get you back on here another time. So, and I'm gonna see if we can work to get that going, Michelle. So I think that'd be a cool episode.
That would be fun.
This brings us to our Let Them Know segment. This is the final segment of the podcast. This is where you can share anything you like with the audience. So, Jen, please let them know.
Trusting God is the best scavenger hunt you will ever go on. And sometimes the best thing you can do is slow down and wait to see what he has for you. It's not about sitting there and saying, okay, God, I'm not going to work. I'm just going to sit here and wait for you. It's saying, what's my next step? It's saying, what do you have for me on my to-do list today? And saying, okay, I'm going to do these three things and be good with it. But it's about slowing down and saying, God, I'm not feeling it in my heart and I want to feel it in my heart. I surrender. I repent for not trusting you. I want to trust you. Break these chains off of me. I want to trust you with everything I have. Start small. Start small.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you for being back on the show. Would you mind closing us on a prayer before we get out of here today?
Absolutely. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing Eric and I together and for these conversations that we have. I pray, Lord, that these conversations glorify you above all things. Eric and I know have been through it in our lives, and I thank you that we get to have your light, Jesus, shining through us. And I pray that the men and women that are listening to this show, Lord, I just pray that you speak to their hearts and speak to the anxiety and the fear and the depression and the overwhelm and the chaos. And I pray that someone says, you know what? I can't live like this anymore. My kids aren't getting the best of me. My husband's not getting the best of me. My wife is not getting the best of me. You, Lord, are not getting the best of me. And what I'm doing is not glorifying you. And I want to bring glory to you in everything I do. So, Lord, please help me to take that first step and be brave and reach out and ask for help. Lord, whether they reach out to me or another trusted biblical advisor, that they reach out knowing that they don't have to bear this burden alone anymore, God, because you came to bring the darkness into light. And when that darkness is brought into light, that is when healing happens. And I thank you above all, Jesus, that you took all of this burden, all of this pain, all of this trauma, all of these emotions that we feel, and took them, because it's all sin, God, and took that on the cross. And I thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so well, and for the peace that we get to live in when we trust you in all things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Father, I just thank you for everyone at the sound of my voice, Lord. Lord, I pray that we trust you in a way that we never have before, that we lean not on our own understanding, that we don't carry weight that either we don't need to carry or we're not meant to carry. I pray that we don't try to play God in our own lives, that we don't try to be God in our own lives, that we let you be God. So I thank you that we will lean into your power, your authority, your sovereignty, your provision, Lord. I thank you that you're going to do a new thing in each one of our lives, Lord. Show us how you want us to live and where you want us to go and all the things that you want us to do to bring you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. So I thank you for calling us by name. I thank you for sending your son to die for us. I thank you for giving us a way to be your children. I thank you for that way of reconciliation, Father. We just pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you have been enjoying our content, please like, follow, share, and subscribe to the Rooted in Christ podcast. We are on all major podcast platforms. We are Redwood Christian Ministries on YouTube. Jen, thank you so much for being on the show. We got to get you back on here soon.
Thank you, sir. I had a great time as always.
Thank you.